Wait, did you learn before?
I learned it very strong. I'm here.
You're first double diamond now? Where are you from?
I'm from New York originally.
From the west side?
That's my father's cousin.
That's your father's cousin, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm good. Thank
you.
No, I'm good. Thank you very much. Just come.
It's romantic.
Last year, she was spoken about the lotion of Ato.
Oh, it's terrible when people remember what I said. I can't repeat what I said.
I'm sorry. It's all right. I didn't remember the details. But
it's also a different parasha this week.
Right, right. So. Yeah, last year was Vayechi Ato, right?
The tshuva. You tell me when to stop and we're good to go. You daven mincha 3 o'clock, like 2:30, 2:45, right? You don't daven 1 o'clock mincha.
We're going to daven early today because the truth is...
Because what?
Because we're going to Yad Vashem today.
So what time are you daven mincha?
As soon as you finish.
Oh, fantastic. Mincha as soon as I'm finished. That's amazing. Okay, good. I was looking for him.
How long is your Rashid plan of speaking?
I'll speak a little bit and take questions. Tell me what's a good time. What time would you like to finish by?
12:30, 12:40.
Everything. Hakel Bachman. You want to start Minchat?
Yeah, I think we want to be finished. Okay. 12:45,
so,
we want to be
basically. I've suggested, and I being that it's a bit of a small oilam, we can be a little more hamish. So I'll speak a little bit, and then if people would like to be interactive and ask things and stuff like that, I find it a much more pleasant experience when. To talk about something you want to hear about rather than what I want to say about. So I'll welcome. So we'll speak a little bit, and at 12:40 or so, we'll daven mincha bez Hashem and send you what's going on. Okay. The description of the avoda, of the work, the hard work, is avodas parach, which by all counts is something which is tough. It's Rashi says, it's mfarachas es aguf, it breaks the body. So we imagine whatever hard work you can imagine. This word has halachic significance as well. And the halachic significance of parech is there's an issa d'oraisa to work a Jewish servant with parech. Whatever parech is, whatever is hard work, you can't work a Jewish Eved Ivri with that work. What is the halachic definition of parach? How many calories do you have to expend an hour for to call parach? So halacha gives a very different example, a standard. Work that has no tachlis in it. Work that's purposeless. And lemashal, if you ask the guy to make a cup of coffee and then you spill it out. So if somebody were to tell you, you know the terrible thing, the Nazis took people and they had to schlep stone, cement blocks weighing each one 300 pounds for miles. That's a good description that makes everybody, you know, understand how terrible it is. Somebody says, well, they made you serve coffee and they spilled the coffee out. I don't think, we would say, oh, that's a shame. But I don't think anybody would consider that to be a great description of bad work. So why is parech described as such? I mean, you know, it's annoying maybe, but what exactly is it go at? So I would like to go to a very different area and try to work my way from there. The halacha is we have Yud Gimel Ikrim, 13 Ikrim. Now, why the Rambam chose those particular Ikrim? So the understanding is not so much that they're most important, but all of Torah collapses if you don't have those Ikrim. So, for instance, if you don't believe in a God, then the Torah is a wonderfully wise book that sometimes is good and sometimes is not good. The Torah falls apart if it doesn't have God's name. Makes sense. If we believe in God, but don't believe that He gave us the Torah, Torah falls apart. Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, also. If we don't think Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was clear, we could take the Torah and say, well, maybe Moshe, you know, didn't understand it right and so on. So most of the Ikrim fit in well. The Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, I think it's in your day, I think it's the last tshuva in your day, if I'm not mistaken, asks on one block of Yud Gimel Ikrim, and that is Schar in general. Schar, maybe, I don't remember if it also goes into Tchias HaMesim and not, but Schar in Olam Haba, that's because he's going to give Schar in earnest. He says, what difference does it make? God exists, He is all and everything. He gave us a Torah, and He told us, you got to do this, you got to do this, you got to do this. Okay, Schar and Onesh, He will give us Schar and Onesh, that's an addition. So, true. But what makes it fundamental to the rest of the Torah? It's a great incentive, it's a great way to keep ourselves going, but what makes it fundamental to the Torah? And it remains by question. He says, we have to keep the Torah no matter what. So it's certainly not denying the truth, but if somebody says Moshe Rabbeinu's wife wasn't Sipora, was Susi, he's also being kofer in Torah. So just because it's emes doesn't mean that it's an ikar. That's a question that he asks. So I would like to try to address that question and then work my way backwards a bit. There's an iser to swear b'shem Hashem b'sheker. You're not allowed to swear in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's name falsely. A shvur sheker is a terrible, terrible avera, because using Hashem's name to confirm something that's not true. There's another iser equally chamor called losisa shmi l'shav, swearing a shvur that has no purpose is usur. No purpose means two directions. Either if I swear that it's day now, that's a shvur shav, it's obvious, nobody's contesting it, nobody will contest it, it's obvious beyond obvious. Or if I swear now is night, where I'm not fooling anybody, it's so absurd that the problem is not I'm trying to lie using the shvur, I'm just meaningless. So sheker, we understand, is opposite of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shav, meaning purposeless, is also opposite HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the reason is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world as with Emes. Rosh Hashanah is the day when Emes got, it's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, and He created the world with a purpose. Part and parcel of the core of the world is Tachlis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Bria includes things that are and the reason for being. What are they headed to? Where are they going to? The la'on at the hoylech, where is it going to? That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu got on the Bria. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Yudke Vavke is Hoya Hove V'yir. It means the past, Hashem as creator, Hashem as the manhig of the world, and Hashem as having planted purpose in this world. This world has a tachlis to it. So a core part of what exists, how means a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we need to view a Kadosh Baruch Hu three ways. It's not just a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists always and so on. The God of the future means that right now there's an arrow headed somewhere. In other words, just like I look at it, the stones and the rocks. So Hashem created it. That's the God that was. That's the Hoya. I say that everything that's happening and going on now, Hashkach is leading it. That's the God of present. And I say this had a purpose for being created. It's not just stam a rock and it's just there for nothing. Now, to Yisrael, you learn Musa from everybody. When I was a Bacher, going back a long time ago, it was 1971. I went from Bein HaZmanim to Tveria. Those days, it was underdeveloped, everything. And we tried to rent a rowboat from Stam, from a fisherman there. A guy was renting out boats. I didn't want a boat with a motor. Didn't know how to drive. None of us knew. It was three or four of us. But I didn't know how to say a rowboat without a motor. because the Baruch said. So I said, "Ani rotze aniya." I don't think I knew the word sira. Stam. I guess that was the word I picked. And the guy, Israeli sense of humor, he puts a hand on my shoulder. He says, "Chabubi, en stam baolam. Rak avanim olai ze stam. Aval en stam. There's no stam. Everything has a purpose to it." So when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as God, it's not a God that will exist tomorrow and tomorrow will know about it. It means right now everything has a future. Everything in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is guiding it towards a Tachlis. When we do Shabbos, we commemorate HaKadosh Baruch Hu on all three things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Borei the Olam. That's one thing that we commemorate by replicating the 7 days. That's one Nekuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mashkiach the worlds. I give up working for Parnas on Shabbos. I don't do the Ishtadlus. Hashem is Zonu Mefarnes. It's an affirmation that I can do Ishtadlus, but at the end, having is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. But there's something else also. The structure of 7 days is Tachlis Shemayim V'aretz. It's the purpose. In other words, 6 days, each day, Hayomim Rishon B'Shabbos, Sheni B'Shabbos, Shlishi B'Shabbos, each day is focused towards Shabbos. So the Nekuda of Shabbos is a Nekuda of Tachlis in this world. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world, and that's what's in this world. The Shavua Shav is a Shavua that is purposeless. Just like if I do a Shavua Sheker, I'm denying, at Kilo I'm saying Hashem is as true, Chas V'Shalom, as something true. Hashem is as true as the money that you owe me. That's really what's happening when you say Shavua Sheker. So that's being Makrish and Sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Using Shem Hashem for something that's purposeless is denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hoya Hoy V'Yia, the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the Tachlis that's in the Bria. And when I do things, when I'm using Shem Hashem for a purposeless, senseless act, then it's not there. It's true about a person. We're created B'Tzelem Elokim. Things that are purposeless destroy the essence of our neshama. If you ask yourself, people that are depressed, very few people will tell you they're depressed because life is hard. There's no purpose to it. What's the point of it? The best articulation of depression is nothing matters anymore. It has no point. If a person, one of the reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master himself from us, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides himself from us, is because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was megal himself totally, our sense of purpose, right now, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mastered himself, I feel that my Torah and mitzvahs accomplish something. So I have a purpose for living. If I were able to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu as running everything, then I would stop doing anything. I would stop mitzvahs, I would stop in general. Purposelessness, lack of tachlis, destroys the core of a person, because we're modeled after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you ask yourself, hard work is difficult, but people will let's take an example of two examples. A person is working for somebody else, works very hard, schleps stuff, does stuff, and the money that he earns is just enough to keep him going. He works 12 hours a day and basically he just pays the bills and that's it. Second guy decided to open up his own store, and he now works 15 hours a day, much harder than he worked before. And he's answering 6 phones at the same time. But he sees himself expanding, getting wealthier, and going forward. Describe the mood of these two people. I think everyone would understand. The first person is depressed. You just can keep treading water just so long. The second person is a happy person. Yes, he's working like crazy, but tachlis is very, very strong. And that's because it goes to the core of who we are. When you work with an eved, you can't work an eved. You can work him hard, but to rob him, if at least I feel I built something, I did something. So that at least gives me a sense of accomplishment. If I take that out from a person, then I've broken his spirit. The person is a broken person. What a person feels he did. I once spoke to a mechanech. He actually lives in Israel. He's an American mechanech, and he went through many yeshivas, through many schools, through many elementary schools. He spent a few years at a school, moved on, and so on. And he told me his hardest experience was the following. He took a school of a dozen kids and built it up to 200 kids. It took him 7 years and 200 kids. The board fired him. And a year and a half later, the school closed down. He told me, as hard as it would have been for me if the school prospered, it was doubly hard for me that it collapsed. And then he made aliyah, and he said, I'm going to sit and call and learn for this. I can't take this anymore. And I was fascinated. He said, I wouldn't have had hana from their success if it stays, but I wouldn't have become broken. He said, the fact that what took me 7 years to build up, and I built up something that I felt was very good, in a year just dissolved and became nothing, that's something that destroyed me. And he said basically just he wasn't an old person. He must have been in his late 50s, I think, when he came and said, you know what, over, I can't do this anymore. Let's I guess take it to something that we for us, if we ask ourselves, what's the most important hisboninus for a person? In terms of, I don't know, in the big picture, what should a person think? Am I doing right or wrong? That is important. But that's not the whole picture, and it's not the core of the picture. The most important picture is la'an. Where to? Where am I going to? I'm in this world. What do I want to accomplish? What was I put in this world for? So much more will fall into place. Even avodas Hashem, even learning, it's one of the issues. And I guess all yeshivas grapple. Baruch Hashem, we have very strong iyun, and the last 100 years we have Reb Chaim's derech, and we learn a lot of iyun, and it's for a lot of people. It opens their minds and hearts, and we enjoy learning. But if we don't ever have the ability to sort of make a tachlis, okay. I have this sugya, I learned this sugya. I very much push Bachram Yeshiva Bas in Iyun to write and sum up everything. It's not only a great way to clarify things, it's not only a great way to keep things and to have them in hand, it's a great way to tell yourself, what have I accomplished? I had a Rebbe, you might have known Rebbe Zeid Lepstein Zechon Evracha. He was my Rebbe in 11th and 12th grade and in summer camp. He was an extraordinarily wise person, a very special person. And when I came to the Mishiva, I came out of high school, he gave me two pieces of advice. One of them was, once a week, sit down and write all of the chidushim you thought of during the week. And even if you realize in the course of the week that they're absolutely wrong, don't not write it. Write it, and then write why you realize it's not good. Add, don't subtract. I did not think my chidushim would ever be especially publish worthy, and there's no lack of my chidushim. But I realized the tachlis was for me. When I filled up a notebook every year, I had a sense of I accomplished. In Iyun, summing up what you've learned, because Iyun can take many, many directions, you go all over the place. That's great. It allows you to develop and to think in every direction. But an important piece is to find some sort of tachlis and sum up. Bekiyas is summing up by taking a test. We do in yeshivas, we do shakir v'tari, you find it to be extremely helpful. It's helpful for what it is, but more than anything else is it sets a certain tachlis. This is the purpose. Anytime as life will move on, Bez Hashem, you'll spend a few years in yeshiva informing yourselves and becoming Bnei Torah and so on, most of you will probably move on and into other areas. People ask, so should I do this, should I do that? The first question is, what do I get out of doing X and Y, Z? There are many things that could be done, should be done, and so on. The first question is not, should I do this? The question is, what tachlis will bring to me? I'm going to do X. So what do you see it's tachlis? It will add to me as a person. It will add to my knowledge. it will give me some time off. Time off is a good thing. But again, the tachlis of off time, downtime is downtime. So if I'm in charge of structuring the downtime and saying I need an hour downtime and this is a decent way to spend it, that's fine. But time that's just wasted, that has no tachlis, it becomes extremely depressing. Because at the core of our neshama, we need tachlis, we need purpose. It's one of the reasons why people have an easy time in college and yeshiva. In college, the tachlis is there. One semester, another semester, another semester, another semester, a degree, a job, that's it. So in yeshiva, learning lishma, we need to understand and build in our minds what's the tachlis. The tachlis of becoming a different person, the tachlis of understanding what Hashem wants. And to break down the tachlis, I learned this well, I have this down, I have that down, I have the other thing down. Bringing tachlis into our avoda is a key component of being able to do it. It becomes avodas perech without that. We can enjoy the hustle bustle learning for a while, but when we don't see it leading anywhere, we don't understand it leading anywhere, we become very, very down about it. So Akoponim, that's a point I wanted to bring out. And maybe we have a few minutes if the Olam wants to talk about anything, this, that, whatever it is. I don't know. It's a smaller Olam where I can enjoy interacting. Just tell me your name and where you're from. I'd like to get to know people. Eli?
Kalter?
Yeah. Jerusalem?
Yeah.
Kelter or Kalati?
Kalter.
Kalter, yeah, okay.
The Rebbe was speaking about purpose all the time, and I just wonder, this topic is really a big part of my life. I feel like I'm looking for purpose on the last 4 years, maybe more, of my life. And
how old are you, if I may ask?
18.
18, yeah.
Just turned 18.
Okay.
The question is, for me, what way I can figure out what is my purpose, or what way I'll feel like I have purpose, at least?
So let me go back to Parshas Vayechi. It says over there, Yaakov called his children in, and he wanted to be megala to Kates. And then Ruach HaKodesh left him, and then he gave him a bracha. What's one got to do with the other? I mean, it's like saying, I wanted to eat supper, and instead we did the laundry. Like, I could say big supper, small, but what does one have to do with the other? So I think the pshat is, he wanted to be megala to Kates to find a tachlis. Klal Yisrael is going to start moving forward. Where are we going to? And the way to do it is by telling me where, for ways to tell you how to go, you need to tell it destination. Ruach HaKodesh left him because that's not the way that you can always do it. It's not the way to do it. It says by Berchosei, Ish ki Berchosei sheberech osam, it says Yaakov's bracha hit home. When you look at yourself inwards and you ask yourself, what am I good at? What do I struggle with? We don't have a Navi today that can tell us. The Goyen says in Mishlei, Mei Adam Ma'iv Mashem Ma'analoshen, he says in the old days people would go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a Navi, and Navi would say, this is for you, this is you should do, this you should do. Today we don't have that. He says every person has an inner Ruach HaKodesh. So the Goyen says. But I don't know how to describe it, but best looking at ourselves, what are my kochos? What do I do well? Even what a person struggles with is sometimes a tafkid. So it takes time. In this age, we do everything ruchni, we learn, we daven, we do chesed, but slowly begin to realize I have a way with people, I can reach out people, I'm very emotional, I can get inspired davening, I can get things done and organized. It could be outside also, a person whose medical abilities, a person who's good administrating. There's an avodas Hashem in everything, and everything that a person does, it can be done with that tachas. It's something. There's no instant answer for it, but first thing, a person is sensitive and a person begins to feel, what areas do I feel most ruchni in? What areas do I feel most connected in? And from there, to build a picture and look around at people who are, who use it for Avodas Hashem. So it's no easy answer, but it'll come from looking inside and seeing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you with both in terms of assets and challenges. Maybe a person's life can be there to overcome a certain challenge and to do well overcoming a challenge. So those are places to look for. Yes?
Asher Shiner from Brooklyn originally, from the Mirror now also, second Seder, year first Seder. I have more of the opposite problem of Ellie. Baruch Hashem, I enjoy life, but and I have a simcha time, although I can waste hours on end, I wouldn't feel bad about it. You know, I have a vacation, I'm doing nothing, it's not a problem, I'm enjoying it, you know, I'm having a good time. And I don't even feel, like other people saying that they feel empty in life, I'm doing anything. I could do nothing, mamish, took much money for like a week straight and feel like I'm having the greatest time of my life and I feel bad about the flaw. I'm enjoying it. This is, you know, it's gewaldi. It's good to be alive. You know? I don't feel bad except when I'm wasting time not learning this thing, you know?
Again, this is the type of thing that a person needs to do on himself. Take a deep breath and picture your child. Picture a child and imagine him coming home with freaking Shiva and saying, Abba, I did nothing all week, but I just loved it. It would make you feel uncomfortable. It would make you feel terrible. You know, for a person's own self, sometimes it's also when a person hasn't found something challenging, something inside him waiting to be to push out, a person sometimes gets along by being happy-go-lucky. In other words, both of them can come from the same thing. If a person is good at something, a person is driven to do it and keep doing it. The only thing a person sometimes uses just being happy-go-lucky, and again, everybody's had these tkufas, you know. And also, there's like a week that not much was done. You can cope by being depressed. You can cope by being happy-go-lucky about it. I think, but if you think sometimes, I can't imagine you would ever express that sentiment about a child. And every day that, you know, think of it, every day HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us came down with a tachlis. And not doing it is sort of a slap in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not using it. If you picture each day of life as being a unit in itself, and never coming back again, and having meant to be used for a purpose, at least it can stir up some guilt. Think about a child, you know, and it's chaval that a person cope with not doing anything by being happy-go-lucky, because at the end, look at the person. At the end, you know, when you have to go work in society, so forget about money, but if a person feels he's productive and the world is important, he's important to the world, it's a very positive feeling. But if you feel that you're good for nothing guy, it'll start depressing, and then it's kind of late. So preempt it. Think about that. Think about a person in society, in a society that, what does he do? Not much. And it's not to do with the money and you know, where you're getting money from. It just has to do with, this person is a useless bump on the world. I think you would not feel that way about a person in society, about a child, chas v'shalom, or whatever it is. And you know, once you start getting a little bit of a guilty conscience, come back. You know. Yes.
Dove Diamond, Toronto. Just thing that you mentioned that like people feel that they accomplish more in college or university as
yes.
opposed to yeshiva. I'm actually in university. Like I'm here for 3 weeks, it's my winter break. And like my goal is to make all yeah after graduation. So when I'm actually here, when I'm learning whatnot, like I feel more connected towards what I'm doing in my life than in university. I don't enjoy studying. I would never sit down with a learn when I'm in university until I actually literally have to.
So, but it's only because you feel that the learning has importance and significance. It's because whatever it is that you're studying in university, whatever you plan to do, it's not. If you plan to be a doctor, you wouldn't find the medical stuff useless. It's because whatever you take in college, you're doing lots of chavascha. You know, somebody's telling you. What? Again, are you planning on doing it or not? It's. Okay, so your bigger focus is army, or in other words, so fine. So all it is, because you're looking at it just as a tool and not as a goal, that's why you feel that way. Ashrecha that you feel that way about the learning, and when you'll be in the army intelligence, you're going to feel that that's very important. You can't strive for something without feeling that the goal is worthwhile. And that you're becoming who you are and what you ought to be without that goal. That's what I'm saying. It's a very critical piece. So yes, Baruch Hashem, you found a shiva. It's great. It's admirable. You know, and Baruch Hashem, you should be able to do good things in every front. Yes. Anybody else? Yes.
The shiva is talking about the concept of tachlis and purpose, and just the way Dov brought out that. You know, sometimes when there's and Rashid himself said, when there's a finite goal that you have to reach to a certain point, so then the tachlis is felt.
Right.
We in yeshiva, for sure boys this age, and everybody throughout life, there's a certain level of, sometimes like the bachur will ask or discuss the idea of like, I don't plan on being a rav, I don't plan on being a rebbe, I don't plan, you know, I'm spending a year, 2 years, 3 years in Torah, this type. And if you were to ask them, if let's say you would sit down with them and say, like, where do you see yourself? Like, I would say, I see myself being a doctor. So how would the reshiva be magdir? So what's the tachlis of now? I mean, there has to be a tachlis of now where it's not per se in the focus in the future, in the arrow being pointing forward. I mean, because if you say what my future is I need a doctor. So if I want to be a doctor, so let me go to college and start medical school and get a jump on life.
Right.
So there has to be a hagdara of the tachlis now, and what we're doing, even though it's. I mean, so okay. How would the reshiva like be marked at that point?
So it's a good point. I think it's an important point. A person when we speak about tachlis, so there are many levels of it. For instance, every person needs to have. Food, shelter, etc., etc. So a person can be busy doing all sorts of chores to reach that tachlis. And in a sense, yes, we need to do that. But if I step back a minute and I say that's a mini tachlis, that's like it's like somebody having an office and not producing anything. I remember when I was a young boy, I lived in a brownstone building, except today. Brownstone buildings are owned by people, the whole building, and it's one thing. But in my days, it was a lot of apartments, and you know, each little, you know, it was kind of on the end of the scale, not the top of the scale. So we lived on one floor, and right underneath us there was an office that Kamenetz Yeshiva used. It was on the lower side. There was a Kamenetz office. And there was a kollel underneath it. Yeah, we knew the person who ran the office, the Kamenetz kollel. He was very close to our family, so we were allowed to, on off hours, we were allowed to use the office, provided that it looked pretty much at the end of our use as it did in the beginning. So there was scissors and papers and magic markers and scotch tape and paste. They had a mimeograph machine. I don't know what a mimeograph machine is. Before they had copiers, you would write it on a stencil, like on a sheet of paper with a carbon, and then you would put it like over a barrel, there was a drum, you go like this, and copies would come out. It was amazing. And that was, and we spent a lot of time, you know, so off hours we did it, and then we cleaned up, and it was fine. But then I overheard a conversation of, maybe it was my father and some other people, something about the office sort of being for something. And I said, I was quizzical. I mean, what do you mean it's for something? I said, what do you think an office is for? It's a wonderful place. You can paste all day and staple all day and cut paper all day. And like, what do you need more than that? And you know, so physically, every single person has a tachlis, and that keeps people sane. We need to keep doing things in order to live, to eat, and drink, so on and so forth. But for a person with a neshama, once you get that point, or after some point, you ask yourself, but what's the point of it all? I mean, spend my whole life keeping myself alive sounds like running in a circle. So this tkufa in yeshiva is to develop a sense of life that's a much bigger circle than the circle of eating, drinking, finding means to eat and drink, eating, drinking, finding means to eat and drink. It's what, where's this whole thing going to? I want to tell you a cute thing that I heard. Maybe some of you heard it also. I heard it on a video clip. There's a speaker called Jacobson, Yud-Yud Jacobson. He's Chabadnik, and he is a big speaker. He's on demand in America. He's a guy with a lot of wits and he's cute. He spoke in B'yaneihu Ummah, Yutes Kislev, and his clip went viral. He spoke in Ivrit. He's a guy who's an amazingly good speaker. So in the middle of speaking, like at some point, he says, "Rabbi, I once sat and overheard a conversation of animals." And he says, "I in the Gemara that you know Chachamim can understand animals." He said, "A mother camel was sitting with a baby, was standing with a baby camel having conversation. And let me give you over the conversation. The baby camel says, why do we have these ugly long legs? When every man, like he says, Manishtana, the camel asked Manishtana. Manishtana camels have these ugly long legs when horses have these nice, well proportioned feet. He said, well, we're made to run through tough desert sands. You heard it?
No, he likes horses.
What?
He works with horses.
He works with horses. Returno? So we have to go through long deserts. It's hard to get the traction. We have no feet. Okay, but Ima, what if there's ugly eyelashes curled? They go back and you know they sort of curl back on itself. Horrible eyelashes. He says because we go through mighty desert storms and the same get in our eyes. We have to be able to close it in a way that no sand can get in. But the worst thing are these horrible humps. It's like, we're so ugly. Why couldn't we just have flat, nice curves like a horse? It's just because we go hundreds of kilometers in the desert and we store up food and water to go 100 kilometers desert. So he says, if so, I have a fourth kasha. If we have these long feet and these curved eyelashes and these humps to go 100 miles in the desert, why the heck are we locked in a cage in a zoo? He said, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a neshama that's a chelek al kai mimal. It reaches Shemayim and Shmei Shemayim Adin Sof. That's where the Neshama goes to. Why in the world are we in a little cage in a pizza store? Why is this where we're stuck in? It was, you know, he was amazing. I mean, he's got the way he speaks. We need to set back. I saw an article in The Economist a while back. An amazing article. I wouldn't believe it if I didn't read it. The question was posed, it's in the science section. It was a synopsis of a study done in university somewhere. They had the following question. Evolution produces the best adapted animal. So if I look at an animal or flower or anything, I should be able to identify how everything contributes to its well-being and so on. Fine. So I look at the human brain, and part of the brain is a very sophisticated way to get more food, shelter, hunt animals, and this and that. And it makes a lot of sense because that allows you to survive a lot better. But so much of the brain is taking up with art, music, philosophy, political science. And so much of the brain deals with that. What a waste. Why did evolution allow such a big chunk of brain to exist? The answer is even funnier. I'll share the answer with you. The answer they came up with, the answer. They said for shidduchim. I'll explain to you why. They said that just like a female always looks for something that stands out in the male. So the brighter the feathers, the bigger, the stadier, that attracts more females, and therefore evolution works better. So the guy who can talk about art and music and philosophy is girls will like him more, and that's what it's for. It was an article 2 years ago in The Economist. I still have it. I put it on my computer, and you probably look it up. Let me tell you, we have the same question, but a little different. If we have a mind that can understand Oim Shemayim Ad Oimek Tahim, why in the world do we have a peace of mind that's busy with how to salt herring and get crackers and herrings together? Like, what's the other part of the brain doing? You know, we have the same question, but a little bit different than them. Our manishtana is, if we're so well equipped to understand such deep things, a person looks at himself and says, I'm a lot more than somebody earning a living. Is my anything? Is there something more to my life than just keeping it alive? Then his boneness is the first step. A person does that in yeshiva. A person sits a year, two, three in yeshiva. The biggest crisis for somebody gets turned on in yeshiva is to translate what he's gotten into Olam HaMaisa. Then he goes and he works and he says, am I giving so much of my time? You know, if I'm meant to run millions, you know, hundreds of miles in the desert, why am I sitting in a cage somewhere in Manhattan, selling buildings and buying buildings? What's happening? It's a person is experiencing a ruchnistic life that uses some of the deepest kochos nefesh. A person misbonin about a Kaddish Baruch Hu. A person misbonin about Tov and Ra. A person understands what a Kaddish Baruch Hu thinks is right and wrong when you're learning Gemara. So of course, there's a lot of skills to develop, a lot of knowledge. This is obviously a point that comes out as you progress. But the tachlis these years is to develop. Also, we realize we're people that are so much deeper than just another animal. That's, I think, the biggest thing that can come out from yeshiva. Of course, the tachlis things. But I'm saying, in the big picture, I think this is what's so
the ultimate.
Okay. Yeah. One more question. Yeah.
Is there time? I can ask one more question.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Do not bring any backpacks with you. They won't let them in the museum. Don't bring any packs, backpacks. You'll have to leave one of us anyway.
Yeah.
We need one more follow-up question.
Yeah, right. Shmuel, careful.
Yeah, every year. Yeah.